You're listening to KXCR 90.7 FM, Florence, Oregon. I'm your host, Larry Bloomfield, and you're listening to Spiritual Unity Today, where our hope is to show that we're all closer alike than we are apart. Now, join me with my guests and find out their path and how they've got to where they are today. Hello and welcome to Spiritual Unity Today. I'm your host, Larry Bloomfield, and today we have another wonderful guest, David Buckland. David, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome. You're calling in from Canada, is that correct?
Yes, I'm on the West Coast.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I hope you're having some nice weather up there at the moment.
Yes, we are having a nice day today after quite a bit of heavy rain, so it's nice.
It's nice to be able to speak with somebody in Canada. It's always neat to be able to speak to anybody anywhere in the world. But either way, I thank you very much for calling in. Well, here at Spiritual Unity Today, we always ask the question, where did spirituality first touch your heart? How has it brought you here today? Where do you think you're going with it? And maybe if you can, leave us with us some words of wisdom at the end. With that being said, okay, maybe you can give us an idea of where spirituality first touched you.
Well, I guess when I was growing up, my mother sent me to Sunday school, and we learned about Jesus and so on. And I did find it fascinating, but at a certain point, yeah, I just didn't find it was talking to me. It just seemed to be words, mm-hmm, and ideas, and people didn't seem to be living what they were talking about. And so I fell away and, you know, got into my teens and all that kind of thing and lost interest. But then, I guess in my late teens, I started reading about, consciousness and the brain, how the brain works and so on like that. And the topic was kind of interesting to me. So I was, you know, exploring that a little bit. And then along came, I saw this poster, of course, in reading that, that there's the topic of meditation comes up, which was something that I knew nothing about. And then I was going about my usual day one day, and I saw this poster advertising meditation, introductory lecture. So I went, and I found it quite interesting, and the idea of it, and they had all this scientific research about the benefits and so on, and so I decided to give it a try. And for me, that was kind of a major shift. It kind of opened the door to a whole other level of experience for me that I hadn't been aware of prior to that. Inner light and various things like that.
Hmm.
And so I became quite interested and went to a bunch of talks about it and to learn some of the background theory. Now, this comes out of an Eastern tradition, the Vedic tradition, so the orientation is a little different than in the West, but there's a lot of great commonalities between them as well. Different in the details, but the fundamentals are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And
could you explain, just kind of give us an idea of the basics, the differences maybe?
Well, one of the things in a Western Christian sort of tradition is it's monotheistic. There's a single God and, you know, the Christian Son of God. Whereas in the Vedic tradition, there is also a single God, but that God expresses in many forms. And so there's primary aspects of the divine that express as a creative power and a destroying power, for example, or I'm trying to think of other good examples, but just various kinds of influences that work in balance with each other. Mm-hmm. And so there's this blend of polytheism and monotheism where you have a sense of single God, but expressed in many, many forms. And it's a tradition that's been around for quite a bit longer than Christianity, and so there's even more branches, you could say, more varieties and flavors of it, and that have evolved over the years from different teachers and different people's experiences. But they're all talking about the same fundamental reality, and wow. just different ways that we come to that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and it also fascinated me because they talk a lot in terms of human potential and in terms of enlightenment and what's possible there and how you can get there and so on. Western, one of my teachers from back in the day had the approach that over the years, and a very enlightened sage or saint or teacher would come forward with not just that vision of the divine and spiritual development, but also the means to help others get there.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that basically they come along and they spread this, and a number of people around them are raised up through this process. But then over time, the typically over a period of about 300 to 400 years, the means gets lost. There's mm-hmm. kind of a simplicity to it that's needed for it to work, and that simplicity gets lost, and the understanding degrades, and the formulas become rules, and then and then dogma, and so on, and it kind of shifts from spirituality more into a system of beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than God being something accessible and knowable, God is a something you believe or don't believe in. It's more of a mental and heart-based thing. And that's typical, and they say the same thing has been true in India with the Buddha and with some of the old sages and with Jesus and some of the saints before him and Muhammad and so on, where that understanding was there in the original teachings of how to help people along and make those kind of shifts, but then it was lost over time. And that understanding also gets lost. And then along comes someone else who revives the understanding from another perspective
Beautiful.
And helps people along. That's kind of the broad picture that my teacher had.
Nice.
And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And so I became, I got a lot of benefits from the meditation, and so I became quite into it. And then I went to Europe to learn to teach it myself. They used to use off-season hotels in Europe as a place to teach the courses. They would have, in those days, there was anywhere between like 400 or 500 people and a couple of thousand on these courses to teach meditation.
Yeah.
And then these people would go out in the world, and some of them came to just to learn and have the experience, and some of them came back and taught meditation for a long time. It varied a lot. But I got a lot out of that and had some spiritual openings during the process of the experience that kind of shifted my perspective of myself and the world.
Nice.
And motivated the continuing process of spiritual unfoldment. But, the usual things happen in life, and I ended up starting a career and getting married and having a family and all those sorts of things. So the time for inner attention was much more limited. But the meditation, it did stay with me throughout that whole, it's one of the rare things that's still with me after all these years.
Very nice.
Yeah. So yeah, but it's been a kind of prominent part of my life for a very long time on that level, because my fundamental experience of the world has evolved over the years from, as you establish on one level or one perspective, and then that kind of matures and integrates and so on, and then it sets the stage for the next stage, and there's a sequential unfolding, much as psychology has studied early childhood development. They have models from the East that chart that continuing into what it's called post-personal or other kind of development, where we get into more becoming more established in the more universal values of our being.
Very nice. Well, I found myself too. I've actually got into meditation, and throughout my life was told, oh, how it could help me and benefit. And to sit and do nothing to me was like the death at first. I could not see benefit in it. Just, it was so difficult.
Effortless mantra meditation that I'm practicing, and it's not difficult, and it's not about sitting doing nothing. You actually use a technique, and the basic idea is you use a meaningless sound that has known good qualities, but because it's not, doesn't have meaning, it's not attached to the mind, isn't associated with it, and so it actually settles deeper within.
Yes,
because more subtle levels of our being have greater levels of charm, and so without the mind kind of being busy with the meaning, the mantra kind of takes us for a dive inside, and we settle into more expansive levels of being.
Oh, interesting. Does that bring up the thought that I've been doing it for some time, and now I actually enjoy it, especially when I can get the time to do it more often. But either way, I hadn't thought about the fact that maybe sound changes might be able to assist in helping me. Is that something that you might recommend, or something obviously you have found that is working for you?
Yes, I find it very valuable as a vehicle. There are different ways of, you know, techniques that use different kinds of things, like they'll use symbols or other sensory kind of things to draw the mind within. Mm-hmm. But from a Vedic perspective, sound is the most subtle sense, and so it can take you to the deepest in its own nature. The key, of course, is using a sound that has known good benefits. One of the classics, for example, in meditation is the word Om or Om.
Yeah.
And that has certain kinds of qualities, but it actually tends to make relationships and possessions fall away. It's a renunciate mantra, so it's not really appropriate for most people as a daily practice. And so that it's, you know, getting a, so traditionally meditation like that is taught by a qualified teacher who knows a little bit about the appropriate mantras that are appropriate for different people and stuff. And yeah, that's gonna get into a whole other.
Yeah, that's probably a little more deeper than we'd be able to manage all that today.
Yeah, the science of mantra, it's a whole other thing.
Oh, well, it's very interesting to note, though, because that does open up a whole doorway to possibilities of thought. And, well, it gives my listeners the conscious understanding that maybe just in tone or something in that sense of sound can make a huge difference. And that, like I said, shines a light in an area that I hadn't really thought of, that it would change the concept in meditation level, and that's interesting because I'll have to try that.
Right, because one of the things you have to keep in mind is because you're going within with the sound, on the surface level it's just a sound like, you know, bath or a fridge or whatever else like that. It has no real distinction. But as you take it down within, it's those more subtle levels are levels of greater charm, but they're also levels of greater power, and they're less bounded. They're more unbounded, or more into more infinite levels, and so the effect of the sound becomes more and more powerful as it goes deeper.
Wow,
and
interesting.
So that's where it becomes more important on that level. And there's a whole, you know, in the Vedic tradition they have what they call four levels of speech. And there's the surface sort of spoken, like we're speaking now on the surface level of speech, but then there's kind of mental speech, and then there's the finest vibrations where just the impulse of a thought to speak comes up, and then there's what's called paravak, which is essentially unexpressed speech, the speech that is in a potential state only.
Mm-hmm.
and so it's kind of like that, the mantra can kind of go down through these steps into more and more potent levels, and there's that fine level where thoughts just start to become that is quite potent. There's a number of qualities, that's a whole other big topic we can get into, but there's a number of qualities they talk about on that level where you can create various kinds of effects and fulfill desires and so on like that.
Well, it just definitely sounds very interesting and something to a challenge for everybody. So this has obviously done wonders for you. I can hear it in your voice and in everything you've said. How do you see this enhancing the future for yourself?
Well, for me, it's continued to benefit me over the years, and it's an excellent technique for processing the day and clearing stress and so on. But it also, because it takes me deeper in that, it helps with the spiritual growth and it's a kind of a grounding influence. I have a very strong mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always analyzing and researching different topics and so on. And I do a lot of writing, and it's a nice counterpoint to that, to step out of the mind and take a break from all that and just be with being, be with who I am underneath all that, all mm-hmm. the noise and I guess.
Another part of where I was going with that was, do you see yourself developing this into something more in the sense of being a give back to others, where you go out and do more teaching or anything in that regard?
I don't see myself as being a teacher in that sense, but I am a writer and do write on these topics extensively.
Mm.
And that's kind of how my role has shaped up. So I basically have a blog and write on spiritual topics and related kinds of things on a very regular basis, and have an active subscriber base and people writing to me and commenting on articles and so on like that.
Mm.
And so that's kind of the way I work with community. When I was in Vancouver in earlier, there was a very active social community around the Unity Church in Vancouver that I was part of for a while. I enjoyed that, but here it's not available. I'm in a smaller town on an island now, so it's,
it makes it a little more limited.
Yeah, and so now kind of the outreach is more through the internet, essentially. I published a book a few years ago too, talking about the stages of development I was mentioning earlier.
Nice.
So that's helping as well, because for a lot of people in the West, there's when some of this unfolding starts to happen, they've taken up meditation or whatever spiritual practices, and that's triggered some growth and development. There isn't necessarily readily available support and general understanding about some of this stuff. So I was called to write a book to outline the steps and the variations in which I've seen it unfolding, so that people can relate to it. I've even seen people from not uncommonly from certain spiritual traditions. They're following along, but they're having an unfolding that's different than it's supposed to, so to speak, in their tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's some confusion and concern about what's going on. But it's simply happening differently for them, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I sometimes give the example of puberty. We all go through a process of puberty, but for some people it's a pretty straightforward thing. It just kind of happens in the background, and some people go through a much bumpier process, and some people have more dramatic kinds of shifts and changes, and it just really varies a lot from person to person. And
mm-hmm.
it's kind of the same with spiritual development. There's a lot of variation in how people experience that.
Well, I would agree. Well, you've actually given us quite a bit of wonderful information. I was wondering, before the time is gone, is there anything, maybe words of wisdom you'd like to leave us with?
Well, there is one thing that I think it's really important for people to understand about what's going on in the world right now. There's a lot of strangeness taking place in governments and people's behavior around the world. And it can seem like things are going for the worse. But there's something going on right now where that spiritual development that has been going on, with so many people have been practicing meditation around the world, millions of people, and it's raising group consciousness, essentially consciousness within.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a collective value of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as more and more people in the collective do practices like meditation, and then some of those people are waking up, it's raising the consciousness of the whole. And what that's doing for people who are not on a spiritual process, or who are not taking care of healing the issues, their unresolved experiences from their past, the old traumas and emotional stuff, what that's doing is it's pushing it to the surface to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people don't understand that that's what's going on, there's more of this inclination to act out and to make a drama and get into fear and so on like that. A lot of people are not very comfortable with change. But it's the idea that the water is rising and the tide lifts all boats. And there's a rising tide of spiritual development in the world that's going to result in a much better world. But at the moment, we're kind of in this purification phase where there's a lot of adjustment going on and it's bringing a lot of stuff to the surface for people to deal with. And it makes people kind of uncomfortable if they don't understand that this is what's taking place. But if you do understand that this is what's taking place and you're able to adopt some, a simple approach to healing and so on, then you're able to, then the whole thing is just, you kind of look at it as growing pains. And it's a process towards a much richer and fuller life that's developing for the world.
Very, very beautifully said. Very nicely put together. I also agree that, I often say things like, a person is like the cell into a body of humanity. And once they realize that and how connected they are to the whole of the body, it is a very enlightening process. And
exactly.
You said it in a very nice way.
Well, thank you.
Well, David Buckland, I want to thank you very much for joining us here today on Spiritual Unity Today. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me, Larry Bloomfield, and my guest here on Spiritual Unity Today, where we're hoping that you'll find how much closer we all really are alike.
Unite and bind together. Joining the chord, all the souls. Joining the chord, all the souls. Oh Lord, make these faces radiant through the light of thy oneness. Unite and bind together. Together, the hearts. one accord of the soul. Join in the chord of the soul. Oh Lord, make these faces radiant through the light of thy oneness. Unite and bind together the heart. Unite faces radiant through the light of thy oneness. Unite and bind together the hearts. Unite and bind together. Faces radiant through the